to the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Remember, I'll be by my display if you have any questions. Title of the message this evening is Finding Lost Gypsies. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. I'll read aloud as you follow in silence this evening. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Likewise, or Jesus saying, there's a similarity here, I say unto you that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the privilege to stand behind a pulpit that you've given to another man. And I don't take it a light thing. I know it's been lent to me, and I want to honor it. I don't want to add anything to what comes from this pulpit. I just want to compliment that which already proceeds from here. Father, I thank you for this church, for their love of missions, their love of souls. And I remember the conference, Lord, in 2022. We had a great conference. And so, Father, I've come to be a blessing, but I can't do that without you. So help me to be a blessing, Father, to this, the bride of Christ, and help me to be a blessing to the heart of my Savior, the Lord Jesus, for it's in His name we do pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus spoke in parables to us in a way that we would understand. A parable of Christ is a heavenly truth hidden in an earthly story. Some of the thoughts of heaven are so high that we wouldn't be able to comprehend them unless they were tabernacled in earthly stories. That's why God, through the Bible, speaks to fishermen in fisherman talk. Paul speaks in Corinth in Olympian talk, and to farmers in farmer talk. And I'm so thankful that God reaches down to our level so that we can understand wonderful truths of the Bible. And so a parable of Christ is a heavenly truth hidden in an earthly story. The Bible says only a select few can truly understand the parables. In the 10th verse of Luke 8, Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that may not understand." The spiritual truth in Luke chapter 15, and if you know anything about these parables, that this is the chapter of the lost and found. We're reading about the lost coin. We'll read about a lost sheep. And of course, we read about the lost son or the prodigal son, which we've come to know. And the lost sheep, of course, is verses 3 to 7. The lost coin, 11 through 20. The lost son, 11 through 24. And our text in 8, 9, and 10. You see, what we're reading here and what we're trying to understand and what Christ is trying to show us, that He's seeking for the lost to save. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You ever heard somebody say, "I found Jesus"? It's not biblical. He was looking for you before you decided to look for Him. And Christ is looking to save the soul, the lost soul. And the ultimate goal for Christ is to rejoice over finding what He's been looking for to save. And that's what the seventh verse is about. And when He says in verse 7, after the lost sheep, He says, "I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented." The story is not about sheep, just like the story is not about a coin. The story is about Jesus finding what He's been looking for. The 10th verse, of course, says that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. And when a soul gets saved, all of heaven rejoices, but I believe Jesus is the first one to rejoice. And like spontaneous combustion, when Jesus is happy, all of heaven is happy. That's why God has called me to evangelism, because I want to make sure that Jesus gets the soul for which He died for, so that He can rejoice of finding what He's been looking for. In the 32nd verse, when the prodigal son comes home, there was a celebration. "It was meet that we should make merry," the father said, "for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Saved lost sinners are the ultimate joy for Christ, and they should be our joy as well. When I look at the passage of the lost coin, it reminds me of my lost gypsy people. And I want, in this brief amount of time that I have left, I just want to make some comparisons here with the lost coin and my people. Like the coin, the gypsies are lost but dear. And what I mean by that, they're precious. Yes, they are lost gypsy, lost wicked sinners. They steal, they lie, they cheat. Many times they're adulterers and prostitutes, drug addicts and alcoholics. They're dirty in their smell. Many times they're lazy and they're beggars. And to the world, they're of no value. They're the world's disposable people. I told you the term for gypsy in Romania is tzigan. Germany, it's zigeuner. Greece, it's giftos. Spain, it's gitanos. And it all means the same thing, the untouchable, the undesirable, the unwanted people. They are the world's throwaways. They are of no value to the world, but they are of great value to God. So valuable that God sent his son to die for them. They are included in John 3:16. So valuable that Jesus shed his blood for them. Romans 5:6 says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, God sees the value of the eternal soul and not the temporary spotted flesh. But many times we're focused on the exterior, aren't we? Hello? This means say amen. Jude says, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Watch now. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You don't have to love the exterior, but you have to love the interior. The ever-living, never-dying soul that God says in Ezekiel, behold, all souls are mine. And the Calvinists will say, well, let's all go home then, if all souls are mine. Some of God's souls have been kidnapped. My gypsy people have been held in the clutches of the kidnapper for centuries, if not millennium. And you say, Brother Stevens, who do you go to, the hostage or the hostage taker? I go to the hostage. And what do I tell the hostage? If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, God wants to save the lost. And in this story, this coin has value because this woman's looking for it. Now, we know it has monetary value. It's silver. But if you know anything about Eastern cultures, there's more to this coin than just its monetary value. In many Eastern cultures, and amongst the gypsy people too, a married woman's head covering signifies that she's married. What the wedding band is to you and I, a woman's head covering is to a married woman. A matter of fact, the gypsy word for a woman's head covering is diklo. And in that word is the word dik. It means look here, show, see, and it, show. It means that she's saying, I belong to somebody. I'm married. And so many, if it was an affluent woman, she might have gold coins woven into her head covering. This is probably a middle class woman. The gypsies in Eastern Europe don't have any coins at all because they're so poor. And so the coin had more value than just monetary value. It was like losing your wedding band, and you ladies would understand that. So like the coin, the gypsies are lost but dear. I want you to look at verse 8 with me again. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Like the coin, the gypsies are lost, but dear, they're precious. But like the coin, the gypsies are lost in darkness. She looked for that coin in the darkness. I don't know what time she started looking for the coin, but it came to the point that she had to light a candle. You see, Satan has blinded the minds of my precious gypsy people, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And the women in our story had to light a light, but God has lit the light of Christ to look for lost gypsy souls. For the Bible describes him as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of our people Israel. He is the light of the world. And he came to look for us in darkness. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Did you ever try to look for something of value that you have lost in the dark? You have to have light, don't you? The ring that I'm not wearing on my right hand is not a very expensive ring. It's only 10 karat gold. But it was given to me by my mentor and my hero and cheerleader, all wrapped up in one, Dr. Garland Powell, who established Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples out of Jacksonville, Florida. And when he passed away, he let it known that he wanted me to have his ring. And Dr. Powell had much bigger hands than I do. And so I got the ring, decided to wear it, got back to Eastern Europe after his funeral, and was coming back from Romania to Hungary where we lived. And you ladies will really understand that when you lose your ring, you feel a vacancy. There's a vacant spot where your ring was. And I got in the house and I said to my precious wife, I said, I've lost Dr. Powell's ring. And you know, when you lose something, you try to retrace your steps. Where were you? What was you doing? And I remember the last place I saw the ring was when I was getting something out of the trunk of my car. So I went back to the trunk, but I didn't have a light in my trunk, but I had a little flashlight on my keychain. And as soon as I turned on the light, it shone right on the ring. You see, you can't find something of value in the dark without light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he sent us to seek these lost gypsies who are lost in the darkness. Number one, like the coin, the gypsies are lost, but dear, they're precious. Like the coin, they're lost in the darkness. But I want you to look at verse 8 again. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she loses one piece, does not light a candle. Watch the phrase, and sweep the house. The third point is, like the coin, the gypsies are lost in the dirt. And what I mean by that, the dirt of their sin. This woman began to sweep in places I don't think she normally swept. She was looking for this coin because not just the monetary value, but what it represented. It was a part of her signification that she was married. And so this coin was dear and it was precious to her. And she's sweeping all over the house trying to find it. I imagine that she collected a pile of dirt as she was sweeping. My precious Simone, she decides that she's going to clean the house from top to bottom about 2 times a year. That's when I decide to be elsewhere. But she lassos me because she needs somebody to move the heavy appliances. Aren't you glad, guys, that refrigerators now have wheels? And when I pulled that refrigerator, it's been 6 months since it's been pulled out. There's some stuff back there. Matter of fact, some olives might have rolled under there, been there for 6 months, some grapes, some shredded cheese, whatever. And she'll begin to sweep. And as she's sweeping, sometimes I'll find a coin that rolled under the refrigerator. But you can't make it out because it has dust and grime, all kinds of stuff on it. But I'll say, hold on there just a minute, Simone. I pull up that coin and put it between my fingers and begin to rub it and bring the luster back to it that I can make out the value of it, the denomination. You see, the gypsies, like the coin in our story, are lost in the dirt of their sin. And this woman swept the house. And when she finally found that coin, or when I find the coin that Simone has swept, it's marred due to the dirt. It loses its luster. The image is not visible, and the gypsies are lost in the dirt and the sin. They have lost the image of their Creator, but now Christ has cleansed them, and his image is visible, for he says in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. They are cleansed by the blood of Christ, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and now they shine for Christ. After I found the ring, I decided I better get it sized before I lose it again. We were in a small town in Hungary, and there wasn't a jeweler there. But the next town over had a little jewelry shop, but it was only open a couple days a week. And so I drove to the little town, and I left my ring with the jeweler. He sized my finger and told me when to come back. And when I came back, not only had he sized it, but he decided to clean it. I didn't know it was dirty. And when I saw the ring, it was shining. It was lustering. You see, when the master puts his hands on something, he brings back a shine to it that is for his glory and for his honor. And like the coin, the gypsies are lost, but dear, they're precious. They're lost in the darkness. They're lost in the dirt of their sin. But I want you to look at a phrase in verse 8 at the very end. Let's read the whole verse. Either woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek, give me the word, diligently. Like the coin, the gypsies are sought for diligently. You see, Jesus is looking hard for lost gypsies and lost souls all over the world. He's looking hard. He's looking diligently because they're great value. He's looking for them lost in darkness. He's looking for them even though they're lost in the dirt of their sin. He's looking for lost gypsies. In 1995, I was pastoring a gypsy work in Cleveland, Ohio. I'd only been there 5 years. I received a telephone call from a Romanian national who was pastoring a Romanian Baptist church in Akron, Ohio, about 50 miles south of Cleveland. He spoke to me in the gypsy language, which is unusual. Most non-gypsies don't know our language. It's untaught. And he told me that he left communist Romania just to come to the United States to have liberty to preach the gospel. But he also told me that he had made a promise to God that if communism ever fell, he would go back to Romania, establish churches amongst the gypsy people. Needless to say, that touched my heart. He invited us to his home for a meal and showed us a homemade video of the gypsies of Tinco, Romania. And of course, we didn't know the living conditions of any people of Eastern Europe because of communism. All that was kept secret. 1989, communism fell. And our heart was pierced. We knew we had to go firsthand to see the gypsies of Eastern Europe. There were direct flights from Cleveland, Ohio to Budapest, Hungary back then because of the large Hungarian population in Cleveland. And so in the very early late spring of 1995, we took a flight into Budapest, Hungary, public transportation into Bihor County, Romania. We were dropped off literally in the middle of nowhere. We had no car. We stayed in a broken down boarding house that didn't have any screens in the window, so we had a lot of visitors every night. If there was any water, it was cold. There were no restaurants back then, but my sister had sent with me 2 3-pound Hickory Farm beef sticks, you know, the ones you get at Christmas time. And I had taken with me a case of Raymond chicken noodle soup. You know the ones that are 100 for a dollar? Not really. But they're light and transportable. And I took a collapsible Sterno stove. I didn't know you couldn't take Sterno on an airplane, and I did. And that's what we ate. We had Raymond chicken noodle soup, beef stick, got some of the fresh-grown tomatoes, fresh bread out of the bakery. But we didn't care about living conditions because we were doing Acts chapter 2 ministry, Acts chapter 2 mission work. Now, there's no such thing as a gypsy village or gypsy town. Every village and every town has a parcel of land that was given to the gypsy people by the communist government, more or less to keep them out of mainstream society. And when we came to the small villages, it was easy to find where the gypsies lived. But when we came to the town of Tinca, it was a town of 2,500 people. Now, that's our goal. That's the gypsies we saw in the video. When we came to the town of Tinca, we didn't know where that parcel of land was. I spoke no Romanian, but by the sovereignty of God, there was a little gypsy boy standing on the outskirts of town, about 6 or 7 years old. And I walked up to him and I said to him in the gypsy language, Kaile Roma, or where are the gypsies? He led us by the hand clear across town to a small one-room house. And when I say small one-room house, it couldn't have been any bigger than 14 by 14. As he approached the door, he didn't knock. He just opened the door and tiptoed in. I looked at the other missionary with me and said, let's walk in the same way. And as soon as we walked in, we saw why he had walked in so quietly. Nobody lived in this house. This is a house that was specific for gypsies to pray. And when we walked in, there were 10 or 12 gypsies on their knees in a circle praying. And by the sovereignty of God, there was one gypsy man who was praying out loud in the gypsy language. Gypsies are bilingual all over the world. Had he prayed in Romanian, I wouldn't have understood a word of his prayer. They didn't know we were there. And this was his prayer. God, send us someone. Send us someone to tell us the truth of the gospel, for we are very confused. Now, to understand that prayer request, the year is 1995. Communism fell in 89. In those 6 years, every cult and his brother was coming from the West, confusing these primitive people, telling them if they ate pork, they couldn't go to heaven. Telling them if they didn't speak in tongues, they couldn't go to heaven. Telling them that if they didn't assemble in church on Saturday, they couldn't go to heaven. And so his prayer was genuine. He said his amen. He stood to his feet. He's opened his eyes. I, standing right before him, said, I am, we are, the answer to that prayer. How would you like to get your prayers answered that fast? And there I presented the gospel to him, and several in that room, they fell on their knees. They received Christ. He was a professional musician by trade, had his accordion by his side. He grabbed his accordion, went outside, began to play in celebration. Gypsies were coming from all over the community. I think they thought there was a party going on. And there on the dirt roads of Tinca, Romania, I preached the gospel. Many were saved. Matter of fact, you saw a picture of it. And the nucleus of the Manna Baptist Church of Tinca, Romania had been established. The man that I heard praying out loud is our national pastor. You saw his photo, Gitsa Feketa, who now pastors 3 of our churches. Diligence. Whose? Mine? No, his. Diligently seeking the lost. Like the coin, the gypsies are lost but dear. They're precious. Precious to God. Like the coin, the gypsies are lost in the darkness. Like the coin, the gypsies are lost in the dirt of their sin, but like the coin, they're sought for diligently. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. Now, of course, these biblical truths don't apply to just gypsies. They apply to your neighbors. They apply to your family. Who is God bringing to you that's lost in the darkness, lost in the dirt of their sin, lost, but their soul is precious? And are you making the diligent effort that God would have you to make to reach them? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who tonight by an uplifted hand would say, "Preacher, I'm so glad that Jesus found me. I'm saved." Would you put your hand up all over the auditorium? This is your testimony. Yes, God bless you. You may put your hands down. As far as I could see, every hand was raised, but I don't want to overlook you. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and He found you tonight. He sought you diligently. And you'd say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm lost. I need Jesus. Is there one? Would you put your hand up that I could pray for you? Is there one?" How about it, Christians? Who is it that you know? Who would raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I have lost family that needs to be saved"? Would you put your hand up all over the auditorium? Yes, yes. God bless you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray and Brother Ben's going to come. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. You make things so clear. It's so obvious that this story is not about a coin. This story is about something much more valuable than a coin. Because you said, likewise in heaven, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Father, there were many hands raised tonight of lost family. I pray, Lord, that a diligent effort would be made once again to take the gospel to them to be saved. Bless these precious folks, Father. We love you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ben comes to the platform, maybe you need to come and pray for those lost family members. You come as the Lord leads you to come.
As the piano plays, maybe there's someone that you're thinking of right now. Maybe God has placed the name of a friend, a relative, or maybe even a neighbor across the street from you that are lost, just like the lost coin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message of your word this evening. Dear God, I'm sure you've placed many names in our minds and in our hearts. I pray that as we go out into the community that we'd be so conscious and realize that you are seeking to save those who are lost. I pray that we would have a good testimony and represent you in a way that other people would desire you. I thank you so much for this time in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Wasn't that a